Our Advent reading this morning had to do with proclaiming peace. Peace is a calm. It's a quietness. It's an absence of anxiety or a freedom from war. It seems in my life that there is always something that is fighting for my peace. We proclaim that peace is here, and yet, as I thought about it this week, I realized that on one hand we have peace, and on the other hand we have anything but peace. So the message this morning is for me. But my prayer is that you will find something in it that will help you as well in finding peace. So the false prophets of the Old Testament were misleading the people because they were telling them that there was peace, when in reality there was no peace at all. In our part of the world, we have something that we call a prairie chicken. Well, the prairie chicken thinks it has peace. It moves very slowly, or it stands still and thinks that nobody will see it. And then, bang, you get it in the grill or the front bumper. Seems to be completely oblivious to what is going on around it, the danger that is there. I watched a movie some time ago, and I will not tell you the title of it because, I wouldn't advise the movie. But in it was a young boy who put on a set of sunglasses. Why? Because he was scared of people. And when he put on the sunglasses, he was of the belief that nobody could see him, and then he was fine. Are we kind of doing the same thing when we are proclaiming peace? Putting on our sunglasses, oblivious to what is going on around us. The world as a whole longs for peace. I would like to say that everybody longs for peace, but I can't. But I can say that the majority of people long for peace. Even our acts that are opposite of peace are for the purpose of restoring peace, such as war. And so notice the word, they want to restore peace. Peace is something that we had at some time, some place, somewhere we had peace. But it's been lost. Or it's been damaged. And so we have been working at reconciling this peace, getting back to this place where we have peace. It's what the people of Jesus' day were longing for. Peace. Is there peace in your life? So these are the questions I asked myself. Is there peace in my life? Do I have peace with my family? With my brothers and my sisters? Or do I fight? Do I have peace with my parents? What about with my spouse? What about my neighbor? My coworker? What about your friends? Usually when we don't have peace with our friends, we don't call them friends very long. But even in those situations, we find that there's things that come up that cause conflict between us. I could go on in this list, but it would be a very long list. And so I want to ask you this morning, and I ask myself, is there someone who, when you see them, you choose to walk the other way or you try to avoid? Why do you try to avoid them? Maybe you don't have anybody like that, and then praise God for that situation. Do you have peace with all people? Is there somebody who you would like to give a piece of your mind to? I was told once that I really shouldn't be giving anybody a piece of my mind because I didn't have any extra to give. And so maybe that was true for me. Maybe that's true for you as well. I'll let you decide. But do we want peace? Really want peace? Take a moment to think about that. Do you want peace? What would you be willing to give to have that peace? In my studies this week, I came across the passage in Luke. Luke 19:41-42. This is at the beginning of what we call the Passion Week, the week that Jesus entered into Jerusalem just prior to his crucifixion. And so it reads this: as he, Jesus, approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." It's not the city of Jerusalem that Jesus weeps over. It is the people of Jerusalem that Jesus is weeping over. Because they had not known what would bring them peace. Or did they know? Do you know today what would bring you peace? Maybe just a little bit of revenge on those that have caused you hurt. Just a little bit. But God's word tells us in Romans 12:19, it says, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." This is repeated again in Hebrews 10:30. And so we know that it is not our place to take revenge. But this scripture is quoted out of Deuteronomy 32:35. "It is mine to avenge, I will repay. In due time their foot will slip, their day of disaster is near, and their doom rushes upon them." The people of Jesus' day knew. And I think this is what caused Jesus to weep over Jerusalem. I think he wept because he knew that they knew what would bring them peace, but they refused to go there. I watched a little sports this weekend, a little basketball, a little hockey. And if only they would turn around and see the ball that's coming to them, they would see that pass, they could take it. Or the puck that's coming, they would take it, they could take it. Just turn around, it's right there, and we can see it. But they can't. We talked about turning around in our call to worship. I want peace, but I keep picking up the weapons of warfare. I keep doing things that divide us. And just because two countries aren't at war with each other doesn't mean that they are at peace. It is possible that they are not at war with each other because they are not convinced that they can win. "I'm not going into battle because I'm not convinced I can win." That doesn't mean I'm at peace with you. I just don't think I can win. That's not peace. The passage says that the way of peace was hidden from them, or they were blind to it. Are we blinded as well? And what is it that is blinding us? But do I want peace? And which peace is it that I want? So I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 14. It says, "For he himself is our peace." And I'm going to stop right there. Christ is our peace. Jesus is the foundation of our peace. This is the one that John recorded as saying, "In me not in anyone else, in me, in Christ, you may have peace. John 16:33. So then I ask myself this question. Is Jesus, Christ, or God, whichever name you want to give him at this point, is he somebody you avoid? I only need to look back at my life and my own to know that Christ himself is the one that I very often am avoiding the most. I know he is my peace. I know he is gracious. I know that he will forgive me. I know that he will give me peace. So why don't I run to him? Because I want to continue in my sin. And I really need to call it that because that is what it is. It is sin that blinds us from the peace and keeps peace hidden from us. I can feel with the songwriters who wrote the song that Terry Clark released, I just want to be mad. I want to be stubborn. I want to be prideful. I don't want to submit. I don't want to show you love right now. And these are the situations in my life when I'm not experiencing peace. Because I don't want to. So I avoid reading my Bible. I avoid going to church. I avoid praying. And I avoid singing worship songs. Because all of these are going to put me into this moment where I'm going to be confronted with my own attitude, which is keeping me from peace. If I'm the only one that's doing this, then good. Unfortunately, I think I'm not that different. I don't want to change, and yet I want peace. How's this going to work? Jesus is the much-anticipated Messiah who makes it possible for us to have peace. So can you have peace without him? Sure you can. But the peace that you will receive is a peace that the world offers. And that is different than the peace that Christ offers. John 14:27 was in our Advent reading. It's in our bulletins on the back, in our prayer reminders. It reads this way, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives." Meaning that the world also offers you peace. But the peace that Christ offers is different than the world. And so there's a little word in that verse of John 16:33, and that is may. And I think that is one that has caused many people to reject Christ. Jesus didn't say that in me you will have peace, because not everything about Christ is peaceable. He also came to be a division. He came to be the opposite of peace. Because if you are for him, then the world is against you. But if you are not for him, then you are against him. Many people will say, well, I'm not for God, but I'm not against him either. Well, it doesn't work that way. Because you are either for him or you are against him. It's one or the other. It's not like choosing both. So how can we have peace in the midst of these situations that the world throws at us? Our government legislations that are opposite of something that the Bible teaches. How do we have peace? How do the people in the in third world countries where they're persecuted all the time, how do they have any kind of peace? Not knowing if today is the day that my life is going to be required of me and who's going to raise my children, who's going to take care of my spouse. How do they have peace? Is it possible? And it is possible in Jesus Christ. It is possible that we still have peace in the middle of these situations, almost like our prairie chickens. Almost like that. It is only in hanging on to the Messiah that there is any hope that we have to have peace. He is the Messiah. He is the Prince of Peace that we proclaim at Christmas. I'm going to read a few more verses in Ephesians chapter 2. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. These two groups that are referred to here are Jews and Gentiles. There's only those two groups in the world. There's Jews and then there's Gentiles. And so if you're a Jew, you're not a Gentile. And if you're a Gentile, then you're not a Jew. But we can classify the whole world into these two categories. But peace between them only happens when the two sides come to Christ, to the Messiah, to the cross. The message of peace that we proclaim at Christmas is really nothing. Or maybe empty is a better word if it's not for the death and resurrection of the Son of God. It is in the cross that Christ brought that to fulfillment, that peace. If you are wanting the peace that Christ came to offer you, the first step is accepting him as your peace. You need to run to him instead of avoiding him. Without Christ, the only peace that you will be offered is a peace which is still in opposition to God. You may be at peace with everyone else in the whole entire world, but you will still not have peace with God. It is only through Christ that it is possible that we may have peace. So do you have peace in your life? If your answer to this question is yes, then you need to ask, do I have peace with the world? Or do I have peace with God? Which one do I have? James asks us, he says, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. It's that simple. James 4:4. If I'm still an enemy of God, where is the peace in that? What is the path of peace? Well, your first step is in coming to Christ. I've said that. Because Christ came, it is now possible for us to have peace with God. But without Christ, it is impossible. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. How do we prepare ourselves to receive peace? I ask myself that. How do I prepare to receive peace? I thought about the opposite. How do I prepare myself for war? The journey of peace is an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of humility. It's an attitude of trust. Trusting in the goodness and the sovereignty of God. If I want peace, I have to get out of the way. If I want peace with God, self needs to get off the throne of my life, and I need to let God have that seat. This seems to be an ongoing struggle. Because Satan is relentless, and he doesn't want you to have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Today we have people in our congregation who have come to Jesus Christ to receive the peace that passes all understanding. Four of these people want to become part of the one body that has been and is being reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. They want to become part of our church membership. I'm going to read a few more verses out of Ephesians chapter 2, starting in 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We are no longer foreigners or strangers, but we are members of the household of God. And so if we're already members of the household of God, what's the point of taking up membership at the local church? Well, it's really about a commitment. It's a commitment to a local body for the sake of being stronger together than what we are apart. We want to be the temple of God where the Holy Spirit lives. And there's passages that encourage us in making efforts toward that end. I picked a few. Hebrews 10:24-26 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." In 1 Corinthians 12, I've pulled them apart a little bit, but it says, "But God has put the body together. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." In Romans 12:10-16, we read, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, seeking, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with each other. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." The body of Christ is there to help us on our journey to peace. Sometimes, though, it's in the church where we have our greatest conflicts. But then I have to ask myself, am I an instrument of peace or am I an instrument of war? What am I doing right now? Am I picking up a weapon or am I laying my weapon down? We become members of the local body of believers to belong to something, and then to make our efforts of proclaiming this gospel of peace with God, more effective. Together, we become a holy temple in the Lord. There's an individual aspect to our relationship with God, but there is certainly a corporate aspect to that relationship as well. And so we continue to encourage people to take up membership at the local body, to make a commitment to Christ, then to make a commitment to the members of his body for the glory of God. Daryl Dirksen, Tina Dirksen, Tawny Penner, and Steve Arsenal have asked to take up membership at La Creek Christian Fellowship. So at this time,